wrote our names in the Blessed Book of Life. He put our names somewhere that we couldn't do ourselves, and He gave us a privilege that, well, not everybody has. Amen. I know there's a lot of folks, as I told you this morning, they think because they live in this country that they are a Christian. And we say,
you know, we kind of, I guess, throw that thought or that title around. We live in a Christian nation, but really, you live in a place where Christianity is rather abundant, and where there's churches and people that name the name of Christ. But I want to tell you, man, ain't everybody that says they are one that is one. So, amen. Take your Bibles tonight. Look with me in the Old Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament. One of my favorite places. Let's go to the book of Ruth, if you will. The book of Ruth. And hopefully this is something we can do kind of as a series type thing. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1 tonight. We'll look at the 4 chapters in the book of Ruth. And I want to just preach on this general subject for the whole thing, and just call it the challenge of the family. The challenge of the family. And this is going to be the first part of it. And I want to preach to you on this idea in the first part, the challenge of being torn. The challenge of being torn. Now, families are, you know, what God has established as the basis of society in this world. And, you know, anything God tries to do, well, you can just look for the devil to try to undo it, right? In every way that he can, he's going to challenge the family. And, you know, we talk about, and I guess when we was growing up, you heard a lot of talk about the nuclear family, that meaning a mama and a daddy and the kids, and that was what we termed the nuclear family. And then you go out from there and you have, you know, grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles, all the other relatives that go into that to kind of complete a family. But I'm telling you, as you look at society today, the family is in a great disarray. I mean, it's in a big mess and a big calamity. It's just all to pieces. But and as I say, I think that the devil is trying to do that to people's family. And just through this book of Ruth, we'll talk about some things as we look at the story. And I've told you this many times. We've gone into the book of Ruth. That to me, it's not just a story. We call it the book of Ruth. But I tell you, it's also a story about Naomi. About Naomi, and we'll get into that as we look at it. But tonight, you just notice this this family. Look in chapter number 1, and let's just read a few verses, if you will, with me. And it says in verse number 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of the 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left at her and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her 2 daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for your word. I thank you again for the good blessings of God. I thank you, Lord, for just looking on us and having the mercy and the grace that you bestow. I pray now you just take these words in this time, and may we honor you, may we praise you, may we give you worship tonight for everything that you are doing. And again, we'll thank you. We'll just give you all the glory and honor, for it's in Jesus' name we ask this evening. Amen and amen. As I said, I want you to notice the fact of this family. Now, as a matter of fact, you see this family. In verses 1 and 2, we're introduced to this family. Verse number 1 tells you there was a man that went and sojourned out of the country of Bethlehem, Judah, went to Moab, and it says he and his wife and his two sons. There's the family. And it said the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, the name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came in the country of Moab, and they continued there. But then you begin to see some things change in this family. And that's what I want to talk to you about. As I said, we'll call this the challenge of being torn. And not everybody's family is going to go through the same situation necessarily that this family did, but there's going to be some challenges and some changes in your family. And this family goes through those things, and this is, you know, just a small microcosm of a lot of folks' lives in those days. And even in the days that we live. I mean, there's no guarantee of anything. I guarantee you that you will find that the only thing there is in life is that there are no guarantees, right? There's nothing here that says, well, you're going to make it home tonight. Nothing here that says everything's going to be good with you tomorrow. Nothing. We're not, but Sister Darla said this coming in the door tonight, we're not even promised tomorrow, are we, right? I mean, there are no promises in our lives of anything. So the best thing you can be is ready to meet the Lord. Amen? And that's what I want you to see here tonight, this challenge of this family being torn. First of all, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice this family. First of all, we notice that they are torn by disaster. They're torn by disaster. I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened in this little family. We're introduced to them just very quickly in verse number 1. But the first thing that you notice, I want you to notice, and as you look at it, first of all, the Bible tells us there was a dearth in the land that they lived. A dearth. And that word dearth just simply means that it was a time of famine, where there was a lack of something that was necessary. You notice what it said? Came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Now, we're told a little bit, just in bits and pieces, about how this book falls. You find out we're talking about Ruth, and we're talking about this move up the generational ladder to the birth of Jesus. But as all of that gets started, you're back in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, with a little family, and they're in the land of Israel. They live in the area of Bethlehem, Judah, but they're in the land of Israel when the judges were in rule. Now, if you want to go back a book in your Bible and read sometime, the book of Judges, you see that was a time when the Bible said that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you know what happened during those days? In those days, God judged Israel because of that very mindset. People did what they wanted to do. People lived like they wanted to live. Can I tell you, I don't think God would have any problem doing the same thing across the entire world today, because that's the way that it seems that people live any way that they want to. Right? But I want you to notice this. You do notice that there are some people that do have a little bit of God on them. I mean, as we go through the book of Ruth, you're going to see there's some characters in here, and especially a man by the name of Boaz, that brings out the fact that God is still in the country and in the land of Israel. Thank God for the remnant that are holding on to the things of God. Can I tell you, thank God for the folks today that don't mind them and their families standing for God. We need more of it today. We need mamas and daddies and kids that are on fire for God. Somebody that's sold out to the Lord. Somebody that just wants to praise and worship God. Amen. Because let me tell you, and let you be knowing this, that hey, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. So they lived in a day when men were, as I said, doing whatever they wanted to, living however they wanted to. But it says that they lived in a day when there was a famine, when there was a dearth of food. There was a problem with the crops. There was something that was going on. And I'll tell you this, I believe that was the judgment of God. And again, even though there are good people in the land, even though there are people that believe in God, trust in God, they still had to suffer the same as the ungodly. If you remember, in the New Testament, the Bible said that Jesus makes it to rain on the just and the unjust in the same way, or that Jesus said God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. What I'm saying is this, everybody can be in the same place of judgment, and God is good or God is withholding, no matter who you are. But thank God, I'm glad God is faithful in all that He does for His. Amen? So here you see, first of all, in this family, they're torn by disaster. First of all, they're in a place where food is scarce. They're in a place there, and I don't, you know, we're not giving a whole lot on this, but it says there was a man there that was by the name of Elimelech, and they decided to go to the country of Moab. And it says, and they continued there. Now, a lot of the scholars say that they feel like it was just a short while after that they got there that the next part of their disaster happened. The Bible tells us, and Elimelech, in verse number 3, Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. I mean, that not only was there dearth, not only was there a lack of something food-wise in their lives, and they moved off to try to get away from that, but you know what happened next? Brother, can I tell you, disaster was still in their lives. It was tearing at their family, and the next thing you see is death. And I want to tell you something. That seems a little bit harsh and a little bit unusual. But again, remember, these things happen to everybody. There's not a one of you in this building that death has not touched your family in some way. We could go through, everybody give a testimony. Some of you lost parents. Some of you may have lost children. Some of you may have lost a spouse. Some of you may have lost somebody very near and dear to you. Otherwise, uncles, aunts, cousins, you know, whatever it is, you have those losses in your lives. And brother, let me tell you something. It seems like it is something that comes as a disaster that wants to tear your family apart. And it's just universal. It's going to happen. It will be there. But it says, here's this lady by the name of Naomi. Her husband died. And then it says that her two sons took wives out of the women of Moab. One of them named a girl named Orpah, and the other one married a girl named Ruth. And they were there about 10 years. And then what happened? Both of those boys died, Mahlon and Chilion. Both of those men died. And now Naomi has nobody but two daughter-in-laws. Wow. You talk about disaster. I mean, here you were. I mean, there was death in this. And then, I want you to notice something else is coming up. There has been a departure. I mean, next thing you know, Naomi begins to want to leave that land and go somewhere else. And that tears at your family. Y'all know how much it moves people and messes up people when they have to go on a move, when they have to get their belongings together and move here and move there. I'm sure in the first place for them to leave all the comforts of home at Bethlehem, Judah, and move to Moab. Now they got to tear up everything there, and she's got two daughter-in-laws her, and she's got to uproot them from everything they know and take them back to the place where she thinks she ought to go. And I'm just telling you, when you look at it, you can see a family that is torn by disaster after disaster after disaster. That's what I want you to see, that these disasters come into every person's life and they begin to tear away at your family. Things begin to happen, and as they do, you look at it and it's like, what are we going to do now? And then it's, what's going to happen next? And I'm telling you, those are some things that will come in your life. I can remember being a lot younger and thinking a lot of time, and you'd see stuff happen as a pastor in people's lives. And I'd think, boy, God really has blessed me because, it seems like I've avoided those things. But then as the days clicked on, things began to happen. There's people in my life that began to get sick. And that began to have failing bodies and hurts and issues and problems and divorces, and you know, just all seems like one thing after another, and that begins to almost seem like snowball. And then, hey, there somebody passes away, and another, and two or three more, and then all of a sudden you're looking up and you're thinking, wait a minute, hey God, it's me, remember, everything was well. I'm telling you, hey, your family can be caught and torn by disaster. Okay, everybody in here, your family, can be. And you see that this family was. But I want you to see this. They were torn by disaster. But second of all, at this point, they began to be torn by decisions. There are some decisions at this point that have to be made. Now, you remember what happens here? Look down about verse number 6. And it said, then she arose, talking about Naomi. Now she's lost her husband. She's lost two of her sons. She's in a foreign land. She is not able, probably physically for one thing, and not prepared otherwise, maybe mentally, to carry on life. And here she is, and she don't know what to do. And it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. But hey, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Well, praise God, something good is on the outlook ahead. But now she has come to a part with her family, those that are left her. She got two daughters-in-law, and there are some decisions that have to be made. There are some decisions that have to be. There are some things that she has to give time, prayer, and contemplation to. What am I going to do? First of all, she's got two lands that she has to consider. There are two lands. She's here in the land of Moab, and yonder is where her home was in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Now, which one do I choose? I'm here. I've got these two girls as my daughter-in-law, and I'm responsible, and something's got to happen, and I don't know what to do. I've got to make a decision. And you see how that she does finally come to that that decision, and she says, I'm going back yonder where we came from. Well, again, that's fine. But do you realize that she has affected two more lives that they've got to make a decision? And I'm just telling you, in every family, your decision may affect the lives and change the lives of others that you've got to consider. She had to consider this place or that place, these people or her people. I mean, that's a tough decision for you to have to make sometimes. When you get there, you'll understand it. Some of you have never been there. You've never had to decide something. But if you get into that place, it's a tough decision to make. Do I leave this behind? Do I go back here? Do I remain? You know, it's a toss-up. What in the world? She had two different lands on her heart and on her mind, and some of this connected. She's buried a husband. She has buried two sons, and they're in the land of Moab. No doubt in my mind that their bodies and their sepulchers are there now, and that almost feels like it ties her to that land. It's kind of strange. But, you know, she's got a home. She's got a place where she's got family. She's got other ties and connections over in Bethlehem. And she's heard. Can I tell you? She's heard a good thing. You see what it says here in that other land? Hey, down here, I don't know how things are going. It ain't looking too good. She's been in for a lot of disasters and troubles down here in this land. But it said she'd heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She'd heard there's now a hope back in the homeland. Maybe her heart, maybe her wants, maybe her connection to sons and husband, all of that's here. But man, there's hope back there at home. And I've got to make a decision. She decides to leave this behind to go back there. But as I said, remember, she's got two daughter-in-laws. And it says here that she arose with her daughters-in-law. And it says, you know, she's made this decision. She's got two daughter-in-laws that are involved in this decision. Two other people that are involved in this decision. Look what it says in verse number 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Now while they're going back, something has to cross Naomi's mind. Verse number 8, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Can I tell you, it's decision time. She has come now to a place. She's made her decision where she's going. She had two lands, but now there are two loves that are in the hearts of these girls. They love Naomi. They love the family. They love the things that they've been through. They love certainly her sons. And there was a bond and a connection. But they also have a tie to this land of Moab where their families are. And now they're torn between a two-love situation. Let me tell you something. Hey, when folks get ready to serve the Lord, sometimes that old devil pops in there and says, oh, don't you remember how you used to love to go, you know, here and there and do this and that? And now, look, you thinking about going out here and forgetting all that and going this way? Hey, sometimes you come to that place, you've got to make those decisions. And I'm telling you, as I told you this morning, you might as well make up your mind. There's no going back. There should be no going back in your mind. You ought to just make up your mind and say, I'm going on for God. But I'm telling you, it's a tough time when you got to make a decision. When you got to make a decision. So here's these girls, and as I say, there's two loves going on. I mean, two loves to be considered, Ruth and Orpah. I mean, you know, which place do you want? Do you want here in Moab, the familiar, or do you want the land of hope over there? Which God do you want? Here in a little bit, you'll see that as Naomi is talking to Ruth, she said, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. What about you? She had to make a choice, make up her mind. What are you going to choose? Thank God I'm here to tell you tonight. You've got to make up your mind sometime. You got to make up your mind. What are you going to choose? Oh, you'll be in that place where you're twisted. You'll be in that place where you're tied up. You'll be in that place. And it's a decision. It's a choice. It's a problem. And your family can be torn. You ever seen those families where there was maybe like the husband that went to church and the wife didn't, or the wife went to church and the husband didn't? There's been a few times in my life, I've been around a few preachers that you would see them all the time at churches, revivals, and you know, what have you. And I would ask them sometimes, what about your wife? Oh, my wife don't even want me to be a preacher. My wife wants me to quit. My wife don't want me here at this revival now. My wife don't want me going to church. Could you imagine that kind of decision in your life? The harping, the nagging, the attitude, the real heart of that person against you, and it's supposed to be the person that you have tied yourself to for life as far as a mate in this world. That's a tough decision. But you know what you've got to do? You still got to do what God said to do. Amen? I know that's a tough place to be, but there are some people that get into those places. And there's two loves. I mean, which God do you want? The God of the world or the God of Israel? Which land do you want? The God of the one that God has... Can I tell you, if you look up your Bible, you'll see that the Bible said that Moab was God's washpot. God had no use for the land of Moab. They had done so much against the children of Israel that God had actually cursed them. Which, you want that or do you want this? And you know what? As a lot of folks said, put me down there in the dirty mop water, I'll take it. Brother, I want the things of God. Amen. I want what He's got. I'll take what he's got every time over all that other crowd. Amen? So there's two lands. There was two loves. I'll tell you, there's two lanes to consider. Which lane are you going to get in? You going to get in the land of foolishness, the lane of foolishness, or the lane of faith? You get in a lane that leads you to destruction, or the one that leads to everlasting life. You got to make up your mind which lane you won't get in. Amen? We'll be driving down the road sometimes with some of our granddaughters, and the littlest one, if you know how your cars do nowadays, I hope y'all know this. I hope I ain't the only one. If your car gets over on them white lines or them yellow lines, ours will go beep, 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 beep. Do y'all do that? Yeah, they do. Well, what? Olivia will yell from the back, Poppy, get on your lane. Get on your lane. I said, I'm trying to stay in my lane. She said, get on your lane. Don't try, get in it. Amen? Hey, can I tell you? You got to make up your mind and get one. You got to pick which one you want. You got to grab a hold of something and get in that lane and stay with that lane. And that's where these girls are. You see what it says? They rise up here in verse number 9. She kissed them both. She's going to kiss them goodbye. Hey, are there some things in your life you're willing to kiss goodbye to? Either way. Hey, can I tell you, you can kiss the Lord goodbye or you can kiss the world goodbye. But you better make up your mind. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and they wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughter. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they might be your husbands? She said, I don't have any other kids, any other boys to get. There's no way that I can help you in this area of having a son for a husband for you. I can't help you. You've got to make up your mind. They were at that place where they had to make a choice. They were torn by the decision. I'm telling you, sometimes life throws you so much, and you've got to make a decision. How can I decide, preacher? You're going to be torn in it. But I'm telling you, you better be able to get on your face and beg and plead with the God of heaven and say, God, which way do I need to go? I'm glad He can give you the direction that you need in your life. Amen? He's able to do that. So you know the story. She said, turn again, my daughters. Verse 12, go your way. I'm too old to have a husband. She said, If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, should also bear son, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having a husband? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. I mean, she's trying to convince them. And she's saying, y'all got to make a decision. And I think I know the right decision. She didn't, but she thought she did. And it said, the Lord. And they lifted up their voice in verse 14. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpha kissed her goodbye and left. Ruth grabbed hold and said, you ain't shaking me off. And you know the story as you go on through these next few verses, how that Ruth said, I'm staying with you. I'm getting in the lane of faith, and I'm staying on this way till I get to where you're going. She said, your people's going to be my people. Where you dwell is where I'm going to be, where I dwell. Your God's going to be my God. There's nothing going to part us but death is the only thing that's going to bring a cease to our relationship, our family. You ain't going to tear it up. So, as I say, you can see how people can be torn by disaster, torn by decision. Now, I want you to look at this last thing. In the last few verses, verse 18, it says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. I mean, Ruth had made her decision. Orpah had made her decision. Naomi's made her decision. And so the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I want you to look at this and notice this with me. I mean, you've got a family torn by disaster, torn by decision. And now you see a family, and it's just the two ladies. And it's mainly Naomi at this point that is torn by discouragement and disappointment. Can I tell you, sometimes in your life and in your family, you're going to come to some disappointing and discouraging days. Things did not work the way that you had them planned. Things did not go as you had imagined and expected them to go. So you're going to run into some of those days. Some of you probably have already seen them. The disappointments in your families. I've seen people that were disappointed with the things that happened to their husbands or to their wives or to their children or to their parents or to other close family members. I say they wound up and they were just disappointed. Here goes Naomi back home. You see what she says? Those people saw her at the gate. And the Bible said the whole city was moved about her. When you look at that word moved, it means everybody came to see her. When they saw her and Ruth coming up the road, everybody in the city said, "Who is that?" Finally, somebody said, "I think that's Naomi. But I don't see Elimelech, and I don't see any of the son. There's some lady with her." And it says the whole city is moved, and they come out to greet her. The whole city. They're all, and when they see her, they look at her physical condition, and they can kind of tell from expression her mental condition. And they look and they say, "Is that Naomi?" And let me just tell you, be honest. Smile a little bit or nod your head. But we've all seen people like that, haven't we? I mean, you've seen people. I've seen people here lately. I tell Sister Lynn sometimes when we meet somebody, they'll go away and I say, "Now I want you to know, they're as old as I am." And she'll say, "Really? They look much older." I say, "Thank you. Hallelujah." Some people I went to school with, some people, you ever see people like that? You look at them and say, "Man, they look bad." Right? They probably said that when they walked away. Me too. But, you know, we do that. We look at and we say, "Man, that, is that really them? They look like they have aged. They look like," we were looking the other day and seeing President Obama on a news thing. And I looked at Lynn and I said, "Man, he got old, amen, in a hurry. His hair's gotten gray, and he's kind of looking weathered and worn and all." And I'm just telling you, hey, things that you go through in this life can affect you. And Naomi had been through some stuff. Naomi had been through some disasters. Naomi had to make some decisions. And now Naomi comes back, and you see her disappointment and her discouraged attitude and the discouraged way about her. They said, "Is this Naomi?" You see that there in verse number 19? And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi." Now, I've told you this a lot. The name Naomi means pleasant or happy. She said, "Don't call me that anymore, because I'm definitely not happy and I'm not very pleasant to be around." She said, "But rather call me Mara." Mara means bitter. She said, "Because the Almighty, God, has dealt very bitterly with me." Oh, can I tell you, you can see it in her life, can't you? First of all, you can see that it was detected, as I said, upon her entrance. When she got there and they saw her, they said, is that really Naomi? It was detected upon her entrance. And second of all, I want you to notice that there's the dealings that she expounds about. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. God's dealt very bitterly, very hurtfully, very negatively. She said, I went out full. I had my family, had my husband, had my boy, had everything I needed. And now I've come back and I'm empty. I'm empty. You ever felt like your life's like that? You will. Somewhere along the line, you'll feel like you've lost everything. Lost it all. Oh, what a sad, sad day. And I'm just telling you, the devil's trying to tear families apart. Isn't it amazing? She said, don't even think about calling me Naomi. I'm not even going to go by that name anymore. I'm so disappointed. I'm so discouraged. I'm so broken. I'm so hurt. Don't even go there. She said, because listen, I went out full, come back empty. Why then call you me Naomi? Seeing the Lord had testified against me. She felt like God had done all this in her life and was a testimony against her and against her personally. You'll get so disappointed, you'll get so hurt that you think that it's you and only you that's ever gone through that. She said, look what he's done to me. I'm the only one. You know, that's the way you feel. Isn't that what Elijah said? I alone am left to serve the Lord. Ain't nobody else good. And God said, get up from there. I got 7,000 others. Ain't ever bowed their knee to Baal. Get up. You're not alone. Can I tell you, you're not alone tonight. You may go through discouragement. You may go through hurt. You may go through brokenness. But can I tell you, you may feel like everything you know is getting tore apart. But boy, let me tell you something. She said, look, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because she said, he's testified against me. The Lord testified against me. And the Almighty, listen to this, hath afflicted me. God himself did this to me personally. I feel like God has afflicted me. And you'll feel like that. Didn't Job feel like that? Job said, well, I regret the day I was born. If I'd known that, I wish I'd just never been born. Amen? That's the way people feel sometimes. And it's okay to feel that way. I'm not telling you don't feel that way. I'm just saying you can get that. The devil's trying to tear everything you've got apart if he can. But I want you to look at one last thing. Notice that last verse. And you see her detecting, it being detectable upon her entrance to the city. You see the dealings that she expounds, how God has dealt with her. But don't you notice this? Look in verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. Listen. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley. Can I tell you something else that she hasn't seen yet? Oh, she's given the disappointed and defeated attitude. But she has not seen the days that she's about to experience. She's about to experience some days that are going to go further and some days that are going to be better. She don't know it yet. Can I tell you, when you wake up on those days, when Job woke up on that day covered from head to toe with boils and regretting the day he was born and scraping and crying and weeping about all of the misery and suffering, all the loss that he had, he didn't know. It wouldn't be long, but you know what happened in the end? Look at Job 42, and you'll see Job standing there, and it said that God restored to Job everything he had lost and paid him back more. Amen? Oh, those camels that he did have, God multiplied them. Oh, those oxen, God multiplied them. The sheep, everything that he had, God multiplied every bit of it, amen. And then what did he do? He gave him 7 other children, hallelujah. He gave him twice as much in the end as he had at the beginning. But you know what? When you're sitting there in the ash heap, scraping sores and hurting and the devil's laughing at you, telling you, I got you, boy. When you're there in that shape, you don't know what those days hold. But it says, here they are. They've marched back into the city, and it's there. They're there and came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Can I tell you, there's some days ahead. I'm telling you, look at what God's about to do for her. In her distress and depressed state, God is about to do something to just change her life. It won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be more than a year or more than a little more than a year. She's going to be sitting there with a little boy on her lap by the name of Obed, and it's going to change her world. I mean, it's going to do something for her. And those women that have looked at her, and she said, don't call me Mara, or don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. I'm bitter. Boy, hey, can I tell you, they're going to come in and they're going to say, blessed art thou, for God hasn't forgotten you. And he's placed something right there in your lap that's going to be, what does the Bible say? We talked about that, the restorer of thy life. Amen? You remember, we talked about that. David said, restoring to me the joy of thy salvation. And boy, I'm telling you, she's sitting there in the beginning, sad, brokenhearted, depressed, upset, discouraged, disgruntled. I mean, anything you can think of negative, she's got it. But then all of a sudden, she's sitting there, and there's this little boy. Y'all ever been there with that? Oh, it's just amazing when God does it. There's a preacher friend of mine that I see on Facebook, and I don't know, he's probably in his 50s, I think, if I'm not mistaken, probably in his 50s. And he's got some children. But a little over a year ago, God gave him a granddaughter. And I'm telling you, son, every time I look on there, he's got a picture of him and that little girl. He totes her around. He's grinning like a mule eating sourbrier. I mean, son, he's got a smile on that. You can't wipe it off. And you know what he calls her? He calls her, he says, here's me and the perfect child. I mean, every picture, he'll say, me and the perfect child going to the fair. Me and the perfect child going to the supermarket. Me and the perfect child. And I'm thinking, hallelujah. Amen? Because I'm telling you, when God does some of those things in your life and he blesses you that way, oh, listen, you'll never regret. God will bring something into your life. Naomi she didn't know what to expect. I mean, what she said, Ruth, I can't do anything for you. Can I have another son? Can I do? There's nothing I can do. I can't help you. But you know what God said? I'm here, Naomi. I can help her. And I'm about to. And he brings the man Boaz into her life. We'll look at the other chapters. And you're going to see what God does through those chapters. But I just want to see you tonight, to let you see tonight, how that your family can get torn. The hurts, the sorrows, the battles, everything you can go through. But I'm here to tell you, just over the hill, just over the way, God's got something better planned for you. Naomi and Ruth coming down that long road. If you read that, and I've read a lot of these theologians, you know, they're theorizing and thoughts on the trek from Moab back to Israel. Takes a pretty good while to do that walk, and that's probably what they were doing is walking. Probably pretty treacherous, and two women out in the pathways, the roadways of the world, that's a pretty dangerous trip, but God gets them there. And it's almost like I can see them climbing a hill. As they get ready to approach town, as they get near Bethlehem, and everybody's beginning to look, who is that coming? You know, it kind of makes me think about the prodigal son. It said the father went out there, and when he was yet a great way off, he saw him. And he ran to where he was. Woo, aren't you glad? That old boy had been in the hog pen. But boy, when he came to himself, you know what old Brother Lloyd Guffey said he did? Dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and he hit the trail and went back to the father's house. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, and there was the father waiting for him all the while. Naomi is bitter, disappointed, broken, and torn. And God's saying, come on in. I got something for you. Woo! I'm here to tell you, he's got something for you tonight. You may be in that shape. God's got something for you. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing something this evening. Listen, God has got something special. God's got something different. God's got something particular. God's got something that is just a great blessing for you if you'll just let him tonight. He's, you know, we can And we do bellyache and gripe and complain about, well, it's so hard and I've been through this and this has happened. And okay, all that happened to Naomi. But you know what? As I said, God's got something better planned. And sometimes you just, well,